We have been robbed this morning, or last evening, of one of the members of this body. And it came at such a shock this morning at the first hour that we were all incapacitated for normal procedures. And one of our elders guided our minds in thinking of things that were of an upbuilding nature. And this morning, I want to turn our minds just for a moment to the nature of things as they've happened in the last few hours. And then, as we did last hour, we ask for those of you in the congregation who felt so moved to either read something from the scriptures as comfort or to make comments or to lead in prayer. Some of the teachers of Jeff in particular, and also of the young man Greg Patterson, some of the teachers of these young men gave us some insight into the men and their character, their personalities. And then we made an attempt to make the supper that we're to eat a genuine sharing of one another's joys and sorrows. And we want to do that today also at this hour, because there are those among us who knew him personally and knew these boys, both of them personally, and we just felt it would be a mockery of the supper to eat it without discerning the body and its hurts at this present time. I'd like to say just a word to warn us against hatred. Now, we've been robbed by something that could have been avoided, and I think it needs to be said that we must guard against hating the person that did it. I couldn't help but think of my own children and to sympathize with the feelings of the mother and father of these boys. And I think I would want someone to remind me that it's not people that destroy, it's Satan in people. And he's going around seeking, he doesn't care who it is, to devour. And that's why we hate him. I hate evil and I hate Satan, and I know that that's what God would have us to do. And Jesus came to destroy Satan. And in the meantime, though, Satan is destroying us, and we need to be aware of it. So I would just like to advise us, please, let's be aware that the man in whose hand this responsibility is and on whose shoulders it rests was one of the emissaries and one of the representatives of Satan. And love the man and pity him, but don't hate him. One of the young men who stood up at the last hour read the 27th Psalm, and I want to read it because it's so appropriate. Never has it meant more, nor probably ever will mean more to us than this morning. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me, uttering slanders against me, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall. Though a host encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies round about me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Thou hast said, seek ye my face. My heart says to thee, thy face, Lord, I do seek. Hide not thy face from me. Turn not thy servant away in anger, thou who hast been my help. Cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yea, wait for the Lord. There may be those here who have some word of exhortation, and I'm asking that you come now, two or three, either teachers or fellow students, that you'd like to share something that would encourage us. Please do that at this time. I see anyone coming, if they will, please come now, if you come.
I feel compelled to say something about Jeff Reed. I had him in my Western Civ class in the spring semester of last year, and then also in my history class. And he was just sitting next to me for a whole semester. And then again in the next one, I had a chance to see him almost every day. And you know, when you have a classmate, you ask the usual question: what is your major? What are you going to do when you get out of college? And what are your plans for the future? And as usual, a person who is in his 20s is projected toward the future years, as he was. And he told me what his plans were, and he told me what he wanted to do, and he had a motorcycle. He was going to sell that motorcycle to do something with the money, and I'm so sorry I don't remember what he was going to do with that money, but it was important to him to be able to sell that motorcycle. And he liked a girl in our same class, and I know he tried for a whole semester to get a date with that girl, and he didn't make it. But he didn't mind because he was confident, and I asked him the following semester, did you ever make it with that girl? And he said, well, no, but there are 1,000 girls in this campus, and I will find one. And I just don't know how you can justify the death of a person like Jeff Reed, and how you can justify a death of a young man or a young woman unless you have faith that there is some meaning and that he is in a better place now than we are. I feel so sorry for those who do not have the same faith that we have, because when they experience what we are experiencing now, it must be terrible. I am confident that God is helping his family to take care of the loss. And I want you to be aware the next time you talk to a young person and you ask him what his plans are, to mention that he needs to take care of God first, because that's about the only thing that we know we're going to face one day for sure: the encounter with God and the sharing of a eternal life with Him, or eternal fire, or whatever that might be.
I'd just kind of like to say something about Jeff. Jeff was a club brother of mine. It really shocked me to hear about it last night. Jeff, like a lot of us, didn't always have his head put on straight. But he was a winner. He always had something encouraging to say. And he was always a friend to me and to the rest of our club. He also, like a lot of us, didn't always agree with Harding's rules. And he let people know about it. And a lot of times he tried to escape, like a lot of us do. He liked to leave on the weekends and go home with friends, club brothers, and go back to his home. And as I was talking to him in the lunchroom one day this week, I asked him what he's going to be doing this weekend. He said, "Well, I guess I'll stay in Searcy this weekend." But he was a winner. He was an encouragement to me. And whenever we had a devotional, he was there. He was what a lot of people aren't. He was a good Christian in his own way. And I hope that all y'all will remember him as a Christian and as a winner. Thank you.
I'd just like to say that I also knew Jeff. He was a good friend of mine from my old hometown. And I know his heart. And last night, my first reaction was to cry. But it was quickly turned to rejoicing, because I knew his heart. And really shouldn't be a time for us to cry very much. We're going to miss him. We're going to miss anybody that we know and we love who died. But we're going to see him someday. I know he's in heaven, and we should just rejoice in that.
After hearing the news about Jeff last night, I spent some time by myself thinking about everything that transpired. And I went to Romans chapter 8 and began reading. And I'd heard this many times before, but I don't believe that it meant any more at any time than it did last night. Verse 28 and following. "And we know that all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among all many brothers. And those He predestined, He also called, and those he called he justified, and those he justified he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God's for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution, famine, nakedness of the sword? Verse 37. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. At times like this, it's real hard to stop and see anything that and make sense out of things. But within the past few months, this is about the second or third time that someone I've known has passed away. And I believe that there's one thing that has taught me that if I stop and sit down and think about it and look back on it, there's something to be learned. And it's a shame that it takes tragedy sometimes to learn these things. But as I sat last night, I was up to about 4:35 trying to sort some things out. I got to thinking, I wondered if Jeff thought about the idea that today might be the last day. I might get to see God today. And I got to thinking of my own life, how many days I'd got up and put on my clothes and not even given a second thought to the fact that I could be in eternity within the heartbeat. It's true. It's hard to see, but God does work together for the good of them that love the Lord, if we'll let him. I appreciate Jeff because I'd spent some time with him recently, and within the past couple months, he had rededicated his life. He was trying.
Though death is an ugly thing, like Jim said, we can rejoice because he lives. He died, but he began a new life in heaven. That is beautiful. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Turn to number 475, please. 475.
On Zion's glorious summit stood a numerous host redeemed by blood. They hymned their king in strains divine. I heard the song and strove to join. I heard the song and strove to join. Hear all who suffered sword or flame for Jesus, lovely name, shout victory now and hail. All am and bow before the great I am.
And bow before the great I am.
While everlasting ages roll, eternal all shall be their soul, and scenes of bliss forever new rise in succession to their view. Rise in succession to their. God of hosts and high adored, O Almighty King, O God of hosts and high adored, holy, holy, holy.
That may have just been a coincidence, but that song couldn't have been more appropriate at the time, because the kind of things that I was thinking of saying about Jeff fit just that song precisely. That summit that the people stand on and praise God just fits Jeff right now. I know when Jim Griffith got up here a few minutes ago, it may have meant something unusual to him and to me and to Nelda, because we had just driven nearly 1,000 miles in the past 2 days to go down to Alabama for a wedding. And we had had a perfectly safe trip. And yet we come back and here about 10 till 12, I drive the car in and park it at the house, and Jim comes over, and I figured he'd just left something in the car, and he mentioned to me, did you know Jeff Reed? And by that statement, I knew that Jeff had physically been killed. And the first thought that came into my mind was, well, I'm glad for him. And sometimes, you know, if we were worldly people, that would sound awfully morbid. If we had to live on the same level as the people around us in the world, that would sound unfit. And that would sound like it's crude or tasteless if we were people of the world. If we didn't have anything to live for, that kind of statement would sound just rude, just horrible. But those of us who knew Jeff, I believe, if we've had a little time to talk with him, it's been about a year since I've really known him closely. While I was living in grad, we had a few opportunities to pray together and discuss some of our problems. And as best as I know, Jeff was still struggling with some things in his life, but he was conquering them because he trusted in Jesus. And he praises God. He's on that summit. And the only difference between Jeff and us is that we're happening to still be stuck in the physical realm. And he's been liberated from that. And I thought of 1 Corinthians 15, and I've always loved to read this passage, but situations like this, beginning about, say, let's start in about verse 51. This just impresses me so much now. I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised, imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable nature
must put on the imperishable, and this mortal nature must put on immortality. And when the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Death, where is your victory? Death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us, Jeff, and every one of us, the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor is not in vain. Even if it's just taking a half a minute to stop with a brother and say, hey, look, I know you're struggling with sexual temptation or with drinking or with just greed or materialism. I know you're winning that because you're trusting in Jesus. And if it just takes half a minute to do that with some of us, if we'll just take some time with each other, as much as we reflect this table right here, when we take this table in a few minutes, that's going to be saying that we're committing ourselves to each other to help each other. Just like Jeff and I helped each other, just like you helped the person sitting beside you. And let's stand fast in that, because it's not in vain. If any of us has spent a half a minute with one brother or sister, it's not in vain. Because when some fluke happens that one of us does happen to be liberated from this physical body, the glory comes fully. And I just praise God for Jeff and for his freedom and for the same freedom that we share in.
Four seventy-six.
One sweetly solemn thought comes to me o'er and o'er. Today I'm nearer to my home than ever I've been before. Much nearer.
Before we have a prayer, I'd like to make a few comments myself. Last year, I had Jeff Reed in one of my freshman classes. And Jeff was the kind of student who would ask questions about what we were doing. And he wasn't just interested in the rhythm of a poem or the meter of it, but he asked some questions on several occasions, I remember, that got into the content of that poem, to the story and so forth. I really didn't get to know Jeff Reed that semester, though. I knew a student who sat on the last row on the left, second seat from the back. But I learned more about Jeff Reed last November the 3rd. Jeff was cutting wood on the land that joins our property. And about 4 o'clock in the afternoon that Saturday, Jeff, through some freakish accident, had a chainsaw that slipped and cut his hand. And I took him to the emergency room out at Central Arkansas General, and he was afraid, like anybody would be that had been cut with a chainsaw. But he was brave through the whole thing, and he was concerned about whether or not they would send the bill to his parents or whether they would send it to him. He wanted them to send the bill to him rather than to his parents. He was cutting wood to help pay his expenses in college. I stood there with him, and I was sympathetic with him because of the desire he had of paying his way and then having the accident that he did with the chainsaw. But I really couldn't sympathize with Jeff very much that day because I didn't know what he had gone through. But the next day, on November the 4th, I could sympathize with him. I was cutting wood with a chainsaw. The chainsaw slipped, and I cut my hand. I wound up out at the emergency room at Central Arkansas General Hospital. I could sympathize more with Jeff that day. In fact, I could empathize with him. But I learned to respect Jeff in a lot of ways that day because of the way he conducted himself, in spite of the fact that he was definitely afraid. He behaved himself very well, and he was concerned about other people. On an occasion like this, as I was sitting here just now, I remembered something that Brother Burke told us several years ago when I was in one of his Greek classes. Brother Burke had a way of getting off the subject, but actually he was getting off the Greek and onto the subject, I guess. But one of the things that I remember especially him commenting about one day was that he became concerned every time he saw a funeral procession, because he realized that every time a funeral procession went by, he moved up a little bit closer to the front. And that's something that I think all of us need to realize. Regardless of how long we live, whatever our age is now, every time a funeral procession goes by, we are a little bit closer to the hearse when one passes. One day, we will be the one up front. Would you bow with me, please? Heavenly Father, we realize that at a time like this, that none of us can truly sympathize fully with the family who has lost a child or has lost a husband or a parent. And yet, we have all lost when someone who has been close to us in special ways has died. We realize that even though we are Christians, that we do have faith in Thee, that this is also a time of sorrow, because even Thy Son cried when He went to the tomb of Lazarus. And yet, we can take comfort in the fact that it was this same Son at this same occasion who said, I am the resurrection and the life. And it's this two-sided view of death that we have as Christians that gives us hope. We do not mourn as those who have no hope. We can be thankful for the death of Thy Son. We can be thankful for His resurrection. And we can look forward to being resurrected again with Thee if we do die before Thy Son returns. We pray Thy blessings upon Jeff's family at this time, upon the family of all those others who are mentioned, the Pattersons and Baggetts and others that were mentioned earlier this morning. Comfort the families, be with them and strengthen them as only You can. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Number 393. 393.
Here before thee, Savior, we would lowly bow. Grant us now thy presence. Come and bless us now.
Hearts are sad to hear about the death of Jeff, but now for the next few minutes, let's try to reflect back on the life of Jesus and the sacrifice that he made. I'll be reading from John 6, verses 35 through 40. Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up at that last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up in that last day." These verses here kind of sum up what Jesus' mission was here on earth. And in completing this mission, he gave his life as an atonement for our sins so that we could spend an eternity with him. Now let's try to reflect back on Jesus' life here on earth, and especially the fulfilling of this new covenant, his death on the cross. Our Heavenly Father, we want you to be with us now and guide our thoughts as we partake of this bread. Help us to remember the sacrifice Jesus made, not only today, but every day of our lives. We pray that we will partake of this bread of life, that we will never go hungry or thirst again. These things we ask, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.